Back to life, back to reality. Back to life, back to reality. Back to...
What is up, everybody? The summer may be a time for relaxing and being at the beach and trying to survive this heat wave, but there's a lot of TV going on and there's a lot to discuss and there's a lot of premieres. There's a lot of episodes of a lot of shows. We've got a new show that's on 5 nights a week. Big Brother's on 3 times a week. Every night I feel like I'm recording 3 shows at a time and staying up until 1 a.m. watching them. Thank God for DVR because I do not fuck with commercials. And I've actually noticed my TV has developed a new technique that has like a smart record, so I can just fast forward straight through the commercials. I don't even have to time it right and hit play at the right time, but it's a beautiful thing. So we've got a lot to cover. I'm going to do a breakdown of Real Housewives of New York. I'm going to do a little X on the Beach. A new season just started. Only one episode has aired. A little bit of Love Island and then a lot of Big Brother. It's very frustrating. And I'm here for everybody that's on the feeds and on the Reddit pages complaining about this show. So just to touch on some of the other shows that are going on, I didn't do a full breakdown of Are You the One, and I've been off for like 2 weeks. It's been crazy. It's been a lot of, I've been really working on my tan. I've been watching a lot of these shows, but I just haven't had the energy within me to discuss them until now. So Are You the One is going amazing. It's still one of my favorite shows on TV. Last episode, there was a fivesome. So Jenna and Kai are like still banging. They're the like perfect, no match, perfect couple, whatever, that they're still hooking up and everyone's getting super mad. There's always at least one per season. So instead on this season, because everyone's like sexually fluid, instead of just like letting them have sex and complaining about it, all the people just decide to get involved and have a big fivesome. So I think it's like Aisha, Jenna, Kai, Jasmine, and Kylie all have a fivesome after Jenna and Kai are like hooking up in the boom boom room, and then everyone finds out about it. Mostly the vibe is that people are jealous of the fivesome. It sounds like a lot of, I don't know, like what happens with 5 people, like who, like putting in the amount of effort you have to do, like when do you stop? There's a lot of logistical questions I have regarding a fivesome that I don't think I'm going to get answered, but that was kind of like the craziest part of the episode of Are You the One last week. Nothing crazy really happened beyond that. Jenna and Danny went in the truth booth, thought maybe they were a match. Danny seems to be a really nice guy. Apparently he was engaged and like has a sad story, so they're not a match. We don't really have any idea, and my Are You the One math statistical analysis that I posted the last time with this, there's really no answers for who's actually a match yet. So I don't know, you know, if they are going to win this season. I think it's a little bit easier because you only have to get 8 matches. So I predict they'll figure it out. But yeah, so far just the fivesome was kind of the best part of that episode. The shows that I need to catch up on are Southern Charm. I've fallen a little bit behind. I need to know when Ashley's coming back because there is no, I think somebody tweeted the other day that there has not been a more controversial, edgier seat, like must watch reality TV personality since Danielle Staub season like 1 or 2 of Real Housewives of New Jersey. Until Ashley from Southern Charm, Thomas's ex-girlfriend. So I need to know when she's going to come on, and then I'll really get into Southern Charm this season. I do have to catch up on Married at First Sight. I pretty much got through, I think, most of the honeymoons. Things seem pretty good for like all 4 of the couples. There's no like one couple that hates each other, sort of like that guy David from a few seasons ago, who his wife like day 3 hated him, wanted a divorce, and now he's like a MAGA troll on Twitter. So smartest girl probably in the history of the show. But Things seem good, except I think that the like tall basketball player guy is going to turn out to be a fuckboy. I've read that he's been like spotted at the club recently trying to hook up with girls. So spoiler alert, I don't think their marriage is going too well. I don't want to talk about The Bachelorette. You can read my blog about threatening to cut Jed's dick off from the last episode. I haven't watched much of this season. I just wanted to watch the fantasy suite nights. And I got last week very upset the fact that she chose not to sleep with Tyler C and she fucked Jed instead. So I did write a threatening blog about cutting his dick off. Sorry, Jed, I'm not going to threaten your family or anything, but like, do better as a man. And then Love and Hip Hop Atlanta. I think I'm about to watch the first part of the reunion. There are no better reunions than like Love and Hip Hop reunions. Any Atlanta, Hollywood, New York, they're all always great. I love to see the fashion. People are always throwing shoes. It's a great time. So I'm going to catch up on those shows and I'm going to leave you guys starting with Real Housewives of New York.
I plead guilty to being fabulous. The only thing I'll settle for is more. People call me over the top, but lately, I prefer being a bottom.
Game, set. Now, I need a match.
When life gives me limes, I make margaritas.
If you got a problem with me, it's your problem.
All right, we got Real Housewives of New York, the reunion part 1 and 2 aired over the past 2 weeks that I haven't covered it, but I think, I don't know, we're getting 3, 4, 5 parts of this reunion. There really isn't a lot of juice for such a good season and for so many good episodes. I said award-worthy episodes during the Miami trip. The reunion, there isn't like a ton to talk about. I feel like it's just kind of like they're all friends and they're all kind of like get over these stupid problems that they have and just continue to film these seasons. So there hasn't been a lot of like edgier seat moments in the reunion. There was a lot of revisiting the stuff with Bethany and with Dennis, which was kind of depressing just having to listen to it and imagining Bethany having to relive all of it. That was just kind of like a Debbie Downer moment. And obviously it's very sad it's going on. It's just that like this is the Real Housewives of New York reunion. We're here to like throw shoes and fight. Everyone kind of shits on Ramona for a while. I just caught up on the second part of the reunion. There really wasn't too much to go over on the first part, but I'll highlight some of the things from the first and the second part that I thought were interesting. They shat on Ramona for a good amount of time. Obviously, her lying about the table 62 thing, not wanting to sit with Dorinda. She kind of like skirted away around that, like only in a way Ramona knows how to do. The part about her saying that Dennis was stupid because he was on drugs or whatever she said. She apologized for that. That was awkward and that was a horrible thing to say. So she really couldn't like find a way out of that situation. It was more the only option Ramona had there was to apologize. So thank God she did. And everyone seemed to pretty much like make fun of her for dating a bunch of guys and for being old, but like looking young. It was a very awkward section that followed that was with Tinsley. So here's the problem I have is why does anyone care where Tinsley has all her money from, how much money she has, what she does, where she lives? I just don't get why everybody cares about this or why this has to be a topic of discussion. Like, do we know the Zillow location links for everybody else's house? Doesn't matter if she lives at the hotel or if she goes to Palm Beach, whatever, if that's the correct terminology I'm allowed to use. I just don't get why everyone cares. I didn't get the whole storyline even with Scott before trying to insinuate that they were back together. Like, who cares? Like, Dorinda is barely in a relationship with John. They sleep together like twice a week and then he leaves and goes home. Like, it's not you don't have the right, Dorinda, to be all up in everybody else's business about when they're seeing somebody at 3 a.m. or not. Like, I just, and going deep into, you know, Tinsley is a debutante from the South, and that's why she has all this money and she got arrested. It lowered the amount of her inheritance. Like, why are we talking about this? Who cares? Like, I expect all of my housewives to be rich. And in my head, Tinsley is a wealthy Southern debutante that got all of her money from her parents. So I just didn't understand why that's even a point of discussion on these reunions. In the first part of the reunion, Dorinda had a few good moments in the first two parts so far. The first was when she's telling a story about giving her first communion prayer card that she had to Luann. She's crying like hysterically about giving her that card. And then Luann like trying so hard forcefully to cry. Like I've never seen anybody try and want to cry but not actually going to cry more than Luann in that situation. Like there was no chance any tears were coming at any point, no matter what she did. She could think about the saddest thing. She could think about Tinsley's little baby dog dying, and there was no way that Luann was going to be able to muster up real tears in that situation. So that was one of my favorite parts of the reunion so far. And I do have to say, I'm starting to wonder if somebody from the show is maybe listening to this podcast, because like an hour into the first part of the reunion is when we get our first glimpse of Barbara. Barbara is nowhere to be seen. She hasn't in the first, so as far as I know, in the first whole two episodes of this reunion, we have not seen or heard from Barbara once. Like everybody knows she was not adding any value to the show. It's just like the complete disrespect. They haven't even acknowledged anything that's gone on with her, who she is. It's like, it's a weird elephant in the room. I know that she's not adding anything to the story, but like, why haven't we even mentioned her? I thought that she was kind of on a path to become the like 12th housewife on the show, and I don't know. So I don't know if we're getting 2-3 more episodes of this reunion, but if we don't start hearing from Barbara soon, I'm gonna get concerned. Like, is somebody check that she's still okay and that she's still going around with that muscular arm shoulder walk? And you know, I don't know where Barbara is. It's very Stranger Things season one of us. So I don't know. The other moment Dorinda had was the imitation of Luann in the second part, just like straight up mimicking her. And Luann's in the middle of just talking random sentences about, you know, probably trying to fake apologize. And Dorinda just barges right in, storms over her, and does the best impression of Luann. It really was a good impression. Bethany, like, was crawling her skin, and I was fucking loving it. So, for such a awesome action-packed season of drama, I kind of have expected more from this reunion so far. There really hasn't been a ton of dramatic fights or things said, but I think I did hear a rumor that there's something that Barbara says in the reunion at some point, or something is said to Barbara that like is very scandalous. So we haven't got there yet, obviously, because we haven't even acknowledged Barbara's existence in this universe, but I'm hoping that we're going to get to that soon, and that the next part 3, 4, 5, however many you need to really get to it, I hope that we get what we came here for.
What the fuck did we sign up for?
You just broke my heart.
I can't believe you.
Why'd you lie?
I am here to seek revenge.
It's your summer's perfect relationship show. X on the Beach returns on a new
X on the Beach season 3 premiered since I've recorded the last podcast, and I am so glad it's back. Usually with these types of shows, the trashier the better, and I really like how this season on X on the Beach, they're going to be mixing in some other shows. MTV started doing that on The Challenge, and they mixed in like Big Brother people, the UK people from All Love Island. They've brought a lot of people in from different shows. So I like what they did there, and I'm glad that they're experimenting with that on X on the Beach, because we needed a mix up from the same stupid Are You the One people and the challenge people. So first, they got to hit us hard with the first episode in this season. We got Aubrey O'Day in here. And within the first 15 seconds of this show, she's already mentioned how many records she sold with Danity Kane, that she fucked Donald Trump Jr., that she was dating Pauly D, and that she uses extra small tampons. Those first 15 seconds of this episode. So it's very on brand for Aubrey O'Day. I would have been surprised if she said something prophetic or deep about what she's looking for in somebody. So already love it. This is definitely a type of character that we need on the show. She's going to probably have some of those quick one-liners. And I do think it's hilarious that she's mentioning like Donald Trump Jr. and DJ Pauly D, like those are her exes that are going to come on this show. Like, can you just imagine Donald Trump Jr. emerging from the shore and doing that hair flip in like a Make America Great Again speedo? I don't know what they're trying to tease us here, but they're not coming on this show. We know they're not going to do it. So I've already read the spoilers. I know who the rest of the cast is, but no one would believe that those two would be on the show. So great start. I love Aubrey's addition to this entire franchise. Her boobs are already out the whole first episode. Then the rest of the episode is mostly introducing us to the cast members, the singles that are going to be on it, even though they're going to throw in 700 more people from now on. There's a random guy, Cameron, who says we're supposed to know him from a lot of different shows. Well, Cameron and I watch a fuckload of TV. Almost every show that is on TV, I probably have watched an episode or watched all of the episodes, and I've never heard of you. So I'm sensing very fuckboy vibes from Cameron. He is living with his ex-girlfriend and his other ex-girlfriend that he just broke up with. That's why they broke up. I don't know. It just seems something is amiss with Cameron. And we see within the first 5 minutes, he's obviously infatuated with Gilles's perfect, huge boobs that he has flocked to her side. Gilles is from Are You the One? She was with Anthony, and you know how that's going to connect back to Shannon. And that is a love triangle that I'm very interested in hearing more about. But Cameron and Gilles are not going to be something I'm going to be caring about. So he's already canceled for me episode one. We'll see if he can redeem himself. I love the new guy, Michi. I don't know any of his other exes, but the only way that anyone knows him is from hooking up with Blac Chyna. And you can tell that Romeo is like so intrigued by the whole thing. He like does not speak to any of the guests. All the girls on the show in the past have like wanted to date Romeo. I don't think he socializes with them. He came right up to Michi asking him about Blac Chyna. She is such an enigma. Everybody needs to know what it's like to have sex with Blac Chyna. So I hope we get more on that. But he kind of seems like actually a cool guy. So Kenya is immediately into him. And I'm glad she's back from Are You the One. She was a great character on it. But I'm very thrilled, the most thrilled, that she did not bring her neon yellow nails with her. If you read any of my recap blogs, you'll know I had a strong hatred for the way Kenya kept. I don't know how long that show was filmed, but for the entirety of Are You the One, she had these horrendously neon green yellow nails. So she's come in with a more ballet slipper vibe to this show, and I feel that she might find love. I watch Big Brother. I talk about it on this podcast. I know that a lot of people who are like Are You the One, X on the Beach people probably don't watch Big Brother, but I only recently started watching a few years ago, and I watched a season that Mark and Elena were on. They were terrible Big Brother, both of them. They just tried to, Elena tried to fight the fact that she liked Mark, even though they were banging, I think, like the whole time in the Big Brother house. And carrying along with that being awful at Big Brother, Mark is already awful at X on the Beach. He is rambling, really trying to sell the story that him and Elena have broken up, even though everybody knows that they're still together. I don't think they ever broke up. They faked it for the show. You can tell Mark cannot stop talking, and that's like the number one sign of someone lying. He's trying to convince everyone that they're broken up. They've been posting pictures at the same location. Now they never stop. So I don't know what this show is trying to prove. But Mark and Aubrey O'Day start hitting it off, and I guess Mark has a type. He even says at the beginning, he's like, I like blondes with huge boobs. It's like, okay, well, let's live up to that stereotype. Billy. I wanted to hate Billy. I guess he was some like gardener on Ellen, and I don't know what other character he played or what other show he was on. And I wanted to hate him because he just seems so like dumb and muscly, but I can't. I really wanted to hate him, but he seems actually kind of cool. He starts literally crying about how like lonely he is. I felt bad for him. I bet people like me just come in and assume he's some asshole, you know, weightlifter, which I'm sure he is, but he has the capability of producing tears. So I never thought I'd say this, but I wish he would have actually less muscles. The videographer on the show needs a raise. I don't know whose department that is or if that was something they last season they challenged the videographer to really step it up, but he did. He or she needs a raise. Those twins, the Kaplan twins, who I have no opinion on now, they were like rice crackers to me in this episode, just like completely dry. They didn't say much. They said the same thing at the same time. But the slow motion shots of them like blowing bubbles, holding their hands, like staring off into the ocean. That camera work was beautiful. I think they really have done something special in that respect. So then further later into the episode, we get finally some exes. So obviously Mark has not shut the fuck up about Elena. So you know they're going to put Elena in right away. And then I think because Anthony has so much drama with Gilles and Shannon coming up that they want to get him in right away so then they can get Shannon in there, and then that's going to like really jumpstart the season. So because those girls are crazy, Shannon and Gilles, nuts. So Anthony comes in and Elena comes in. They're having these dates, all the people that it's a little different, the setup of the show this year. You can crush somebody, and if you both like crush the same person, you get to go on a date, I guess. The first date they had, there was a bunch of them. Kenya and Michi have a date. Aubrey and Mark have a date. Cameron and Gilles have a date. And they're in these like weird igloo things by the pool. It actually looks kind of fun. But then Anthony and Elena barge in. They just walk right in. Mark obviously is like pretending to be shocked. And they must have scripted Elena's role to be like the sad, trying to win him back character. And Mark was supposed to be the one that cheated and like doesn't want to get back together. It was just like very stereotypical reality show storyline. So it's so fake. When she introduces herself, it was my favorite saying, oh, you might recognize me from, well, you might not recognize Elena at all because she has a new face every show she's in. She's constantly tweaking the brows, the lips, the cheeks, the chin. I never know what face you're going to get. So, like, she could rip off a mask and I would not recognize her. If you look back at old pictures of Elena, it is not the same human being. So no one's recognizing you, even people that know you. And yeah, Gilles's boobs, in my opinion, are like another single on the show. The fact that they had to just be out in bathing suits for like 12 hours at a time, and Gilles with those boobs, you can tell she's struggling pulling up her bathing suit. It's very awkward, but I don't think we're going to think they need to be featured as a different character on the show because they're not going to be putting them away anytime soon. It's fucking hot wherever they are, Mexico, Hawaii. I don't know. And then I really thought at one point they were going to be introducing Romeo as a single on the show. It was kind of weird how they had him like come out of the water and they were super zoomed in his abs. And I thought they were about to introduce him as a single. I got really excited and they were just like, no, we're here to like bring more of your exes to the beach. So I don't know. I mean, I know all the exes that are coming because I've read the full cast for it, but I'm excited to see the next episode if they're going to have drama with Anthony and then bring Shannon in, because I think they broke up kind of recently. So I feel like there's like actually hatred still there. So MTV kind of has to jump on it when they've got it. But I think it's going to be a really good season. I think the addition of Aubrey was really good. And as much as I hate them, because also I think Elena has had some like very racist tweets that have come out, and hasn't like denied them, I feel like they're like watching a car crash. So I'm intrigued to see what's going to happen with that storyline. You know that Tevin is going to come for Kenya. So there's a lot to happen this season on X on the Beach. And I'm excited to see how it ends. Okay, this is like the first real time we're going to talk about Love Island, my new addiction. And even though it's not very good, I for some reason find myself needing to watch it every single night. So when it first announced, and I've watched the UK version of Love Island, if you have not, run, don't walk to watch it, because it is great television. It's way better than this version. But when I heard that they were making a US version, I had to watch it. And I, learning it was 5 days a week, I at first was a little skeptical if it was something that I could actually handle full 5 days a week. And now that it started, I'm fully all in. I have watched every episode. The best I like is having Friday night, because there's often like not a lot on. And even though I'm catching up on a lot of shows, having a new episode of Love Island on Fridays is pretty sweet. But this show, it's just another stupid day. It's kind of combines Big Brother and Are You the One, all the other dating shows. And the only really cool part of it is that it happens in real time. So everything is filmed like the day before, and then you kind of get to see what happens the next day. So there are some times that people get to vote. And at the end of the last episode, people voted, and Kristen and who else got voted off? Two people got voted off. Caro's guy, McCormack. So we picked up, and I'm recording this after I watched Monday's episode. I needed to see what was going to happen after Yeamon's whack ass got left by himself single on the island. And I don't know if I've done a bigger 180 as I did with Yeamon, because I fucking loved Alana. I think she was hysterical. I think she was cool as fuck. I think she was beautiful. And I really think that Yeamon did her dirty. The fact that he tried to use the fact that she was 21 and hadn't had any real relationship experience against her as a reason that he was dumping her. And the way he phrased the whole thing, like, I'm picking this girl because she's really ready for a relationship. Just because you haven't had a relationship before doesn't mean you don't deserve one. It made no sense. Him saying that things with Kristen were just easier, it wasn't any work. Buddy, being in a relationship is work. Like, he was so embarrassed when Alana tried to make out with him in front of everybody else, like a cordial, cute makeout. And then they did the striptease competition, and Kristen is like cheeks out, straddling him, and he's like has a boner. So I just can't with Yeamon. I did a complete 180. I went from really loving him with Alana, and then I hope he gets hacked by the Russian hackers, kicked off this show. I want him far and far away. And that didn't actually change. Like, current day, I still want him gone. He is now single. And in Monday's episode, three new girls come, three new guys come. They separate both groups and then introduce the new guys and girls, and then they come back to the house. It was the first time I feel like anyone drank this whole show, yet there was still no like super sloppy behavior, which was a bummer. And Yeamon is like on the prowl, and he's talking about how he's just a free bird and how he's so excited. No one's looking over his shoulder to see what he's doing. Buddy, You are the one who said you wanted to be in a relationship. You left Alana for this. You ripped her heart out on TV and made her leave on episode like 3 for this. I cannot believe that this show and these people, he needs to go. What needs to happen is Yaman needs to leave. I don't care if we have to vote him out, if people have to remove him, if he's got to get in a fight. I don't know what has got to be done. Yaman needs to leave, and we need to bring Alana back as a new single again. We need to give her a quality guy, none of these stupid 23-year-old tattooed idiots. You got to get a real man, match with Alana. She can be the make her the next Bachelorette. I don't care, but she deserves better than this show and what these people did to her, especially Yaman. So I hate him. I don't want to talk about him for the rest of this recap. But he is a scumbag. The episode kind of starts with Zach and Elizabeth, everyone's favorite couple, and they are now official. He does like an adorable scavenger hunt for her, having her like go to each different place where things happen between them in this like 1,000-square-foot house. And then he asks her to officially be his girlfriend, which this show, I think it's been 3 weeks it's been on. So, that's quick, but they're adorable. He's like a 22-year-old cashier. She's just like gorgeous naturally. And really one of those people that can just wear anything and look cool. She's funny. She's like hot. So they're adorable, and I don't want to see anybody try to come between them. I'm sure someone's going to try. And then the other couple that's kind of been on the whole time is Kira and Cashel, who also is a fuckboy. He's like trying to play this like sad, emotional, clingy guy. And like deep down, you know, he's trying to hook up with the next girl that comes in the house. So Kira kind of pumps the brakes on him. They break up. He like does seem super depressed. And then the new girls come in the house, and he thinks the best way to handle it is to flirt with the other girls and make Kira care. And honestly, it kind of works, because she's like freaking out about if she made the right decision. She breaks it off with him, and going back and forth, and it kind of came as a shock. I thought they were kind of cute together, but who knows? Not a fan of Cashew, and I think that Kira can do better. So I'm sure one of these like muscular, you know, brunette, tatted up guys that just came into the house is going to try to make a move on Kira. She's like 5'10", gorgeous. So one of the other new girls that comes in is a 20-year-old. I think I forget her name. It's something fucking weird, but she's 20. And she's talking to one of the guys asking about her relationship history. And she said, oh, she was with some guy 4 or 5 years on and off. Your relationship as a 15-year-old doesn't count on this show. Like, we can't be counting things you did when you were 15 on reality TV. This girl, she works in Miami as a server. Like, we need to be getting real life people on this show, not 20-year-olds that can't drink. And did her parents have to sign a waiver to get her out here? I can't. I hate to say, hope she doesn't find love, but she's not deserving at this point in her life. Go back to Miami. Probably Danny Amendola will still be hitting up the beaches down there, meet some athletes, figure it out, get off the show. My favorite part of all these entrances, and like actually just the show in general, is that they have to wear these mics. I've seen a lot of like beach reality shows, no one wears the mics like the Love Island people. This happens on the UK version, but they are like strapped in. It's like a 6-inch black belt with a huge mic pack that they have to wear the whole episode. It is a rough choice for fashion for these women in bikinis, and especially in the heat, and it's raining and you're sweaty. Like, the belts just don't seem like a good part of the show. The other addition to this show that's a little bit different than some of the others is the narrator. And I've seen it's been a little controversial, people loving, hating the narrator on the show. I think it's kind of funny. It adds a little bit of like breaking that wall between show and X on the Beach does the same thing where they like acknowledge the awkwardness or weird things that are happening. I don't mind it. A lot of people hate it. But that's just a new thing in these shows that we haven't seen before. So I'm curious to see if more people love it or hate it and why they hate it. This one of the other new guys, I don't know his name. I think it's a tattoo artist guy, the like 28-year-old that is trying to act so dumb talking to Carol, like, oh my God, what did I do? Like, oh my God, you're interested in me? Like, that's so weird. Like, at the beginning of his segment, saying he was a player, saying all his friends would say that he's a player. Like, you know exactly what you're doing there, guy. And Caro is so just far up her own ass that she doesn't even realize that she, like, loves it. So that's a recipe for a disaster. And I think I even saw either in the preview or at the end of the episode, he's trying to talk to someone else. So hate that guy. Hate Caro. I've had enough with them. We could swap out. Hopefully we do swap out a lot of these people. And the last thing that I noticed of this show, and I've never heard it, I don't know if it's a millennial thing, and I hate to be like the old lady yelling at Cloud, but everyone on the show is very obsessed with vibing and vibes and having a vibe with somebody. It's just, I get it. Like, I kind of get the whole thing behind it. Like, you just feel it or you don't feel it, but the overuse of the vibing and the vibes, and I just need a vibe and I'm gonna catch a vibe, it's enough. We've had enough. The vibes are complete. We get the vibes that are going on. We do not need everybody to have a good vibe. Like, sometimes you gotta have a bad vibe and that's okay. So stop vibing. Stop with the good vibes only. It's like on a neon sign in the house. We can't. So keep going watching Love Island. Hopefully we're toning down on everyone vibing together. And hopefully we get a fight. Like, I need a good girl fight, a good, like, guy couple fallout, except for Zach and Elizabeth. We need some fighting and less good vibes on this show. Last, I want to talk about Big Brother. So the show that kind of is an appetizer for the 5-night-a-week formula that Love Island has given me. Big Brother season 21 is a mess, and there's like 20 people still left in this game. I hate all of them. Everyone hates all of them. This is one of those shows that I still watch the episodes, but I already know what's happened because I cannot stay away from the Big Brother Reddit page longer than like 20 minutes. I will go into the bathroom at work, refresh who won the veto competition. Did Christy use her power? Like, I've been just pulled down, refresh that thing all day because Cliff Hogg, and I'm sure you remember from my breakdown of all the characters, he's 54 years old. He's the old guy in the competition. There's always one. And he was kind of blindsided last week, and he was voted out in the last member of Camp Comeback, where the first four that got evicted have a chance to come back in. So he ran away with that competition. It was just putting like a maze together to put balls in a hole. It wasn't that difficult of a competition. I personally liked when they do the ones like the wall. I think they should have done like a wall hanging comp. And then the last member of Camp Comeback to still be up can go back in the game. They're eligible to win HOH, but at least the last Camp Comeback person would get to go back in the game. I think they've done it like that in the past. I don't know why they made it just so simple of like a maze. And Cliff looks like he's been practicing that for years, and he probably has in some weird like farm environment. Cliff goes from being blindsided to back in the house in a matter of like 20 minutes, and then ends up winning the next HOH competition. So Cliff's HOH is worst case scenario for the six shooters, for ungrateful, undeniable, whatever the fuck these 12 alliances that really only consist of these six people is. And Cliff is our last hope for the show. Nobody wanted Cliff to win Camp Comeback. Everyone's rooting for David, for Kemi, even Ovi to come back in the house. Anyone but Cliff and the feeds would have been better. But Cliff wins. Our only hope is that he tries to break up the six shooters. He puts Jack and Jackson on the block, which is exactly what he does. And I hate Jack. He's my least favorite cast member so far. I need him to go. I want him to leave pre-jury just so he can, like, have to live with that his whole life. He can't even hang out with people in the jury house and, like, get to have an impact on the show where, like, I just don't want Jack's opinion to matter at all in this game. I think he is an asshole. I think if you read the Reddit page, if you watch the feeds, you see he's a disgusting person. Things he has said about people is horrible. And even the way he was like talking to Bella after they blindsided and got rid of Cliff, like pounding his hand in and like screaming. He has no idea how to handle conflict. And obviously the Big Brother producers had to see that before putting him in this house, because the way he's talking about his blood skin boiling, first of all, it's blood boiling, skin crawling. And he was like, my skin is boiling. Like, no, it's not. But my blood boils looking at his dumb, stupid Jason Momoa face. It's going to make me hate Jason Momoa. How much I hate Jack. He's shaved his face. He looks like an imbecile. I hate him. And I was so glad to see him go on the block. I thought maybe Christy uses her power. I didn't really think she cared enough about anyone besides her and Tommy. And I think, to be honest, she has been playing the best game so far. I've been impressed with, I find her annoying a little bit, and she always is just talking to everybody, but she really has played the best game so far in the fact that she convinced Cliff to agree to not use her power, and then Cliff, after the veto ceremony, and spoiler if you haven't watched, Jack and Jackson are on the block. Jackson wins the veto. Before the veto competition, Jack used his power to replace all the nominees, and then Jackson won. So Jackson takes himself off the block, obviously, and Christy doesn't use her power, and Christy convinces Cliff to put Bella up in his place. So there's no way Jack's going home this week. On a Cliff HOH, we're getting Bella out, who probably would have been the target if any of the six shooters had won HOH in the first place. So this is a waste of Cliff's HOH, and I know, like, he's saying he wants to have as little blood on your hands as possible. That's everyone's motto on this show. Just get as little blood on your hands as possible. Escape by, sneak under the radar. Everybody can't play that game. Like, you have to have the people that are going to make a move. Like, people, you know, Cliff, you've already seen, people are coming after you. This was his chance to, and I thought he was really going to do it for like 10 minutes, where he was going to lie to Christy, get her to not use her power, and then put her up on the block and put Tommy up on the block, somebody up on the block that was always going to come back up against Jack, get Jack out, and then talk to Christy and say, sorry, but I had to get Jack out. I couldn't risk wasting my HOH on Bella, who I already know you guys are going to get out next week. She's not going to win. So, bummer that everybody had such high hopes for Cliff, and he led us like 98% of the way there, and then he fucked this whole thing up. We're going to waste this stupid HOH on getting Bella out. This is just like last season, where just one alliance has watched the show before, or like isn't stupid in the Big Brother way, because all of these people are stupid in real life, and it's frustrating. I can't, like, I don't want to watch the six shooters go to the top six and then fight it out with each other. That's just not how this game is supposed to be played. So we either need a Nicole HOH, we need a Kat HOH to see like really where she lies. There's no hope left after Cliff HOH unless Nicole wins. So things are bleak. I want to talk about some of the other stuff that's on the feeds, but they don't show on the episodes, is that I guess Jackson and Holly have been like dating, hooking up in the house, which I haven't seen any. I said I checked the Reddit page every 20 minutes. I haven't seen any, you know, sex clips of Jackson and Holly, but apparently they've been having sex. We already know that Jackson hooked up with Kat before the feeds were up. So Holly found out somehow, some mysterious way, someone in production dropped this dime on her, that they are recording her having sex and it's on the feeds. So she told Jackson that she didn't want to have sex on TV anymore. There were rumors of her saying like the shower was fine. But Jackson like had enough of it. Obviously, if he's not getting his dick wet, he doesn't care about you because he's a blockhead, Lego head fuckboy. And he broke up with her. So things are tense. I think there was rumors she was late on her period, which that happened last season with Bailey. It ended up being true that she was pregnant. So I don't know what's going on. I don't know how stupid these people have to be, first of all, on camera, not using protection on national TV. So not surprising because they're all fucking idiots, but very curious to see. And that's the stuff you want to see on the show. That's kind of like why you have to read the Reddit page or watch the feeds, because if you just watch the episodes, it kind of paints a different picture of what's actually going on. But yeah, that whole alliance is either going to steamroll through this competition or somebody's going to have to break it apart. I think of my least favorite besides Jack is Sis. I don't know where I missed the memo on why we're calling her Sis, but Annalise, she is brain dead. I watched a clip of Big Brother After Dark, and she was like trying to remember a conversation that happened, and just genuinely, she's like, I can't remember what he said to me. I don't remember the conversation. It's like, you don't have a phone, you don't have a TV. All you have to do is pay attention to what people say and like listen to people. And she can't even do that because she's brain dead. And obviously, she has to be brain dead if she's fucking Jack. So the two of them need to be gone out of my face. If I have to deal with like a final four that includes the two of them at any point, I'm gonna pull my nails out individually. So I don't know if we have any hope left to save the season. I can only hope, you know, some miracle of God, something happens and Jack actually gets eliminated. They figure out how to flip the house, even though Kat and Jess are idiots and they don't want to like vote against the cool kids, even though they have to know they're next. Sam was my favorite player because I liked the way he was playing kind of both sides, being a fun, cool, older guy. But the way that he's like talked shit about people and not really done anything and kind of like actually been loyal to the ungrateful that he's not even a fucking part of, I'm losing a little bit for Sam. Plus hearing his like annoying, sharp voice on the actual episodes when he's in the DRs. I just don't have a lot of hope left for this season. I didn't even really like Cliff. I just want to see Jack out so bad. I'm not really rooting for anybody at this point. I think genuinely that's how a lot of the people who watch the feeds and people that really care about the show feel. We're all disappointed in Cliff's lack of balls for to be Cliff Hogg the third or whatever the fuck he is, and he can't just take out Jack. I don't even think if he took out Jack that the other side would really be like, oh, Cliff is our number one priority. I think they still would have Nick and Bella at the top of their list. They still have Nicole. Like, there's a lot of other people for them to target. So I really think it was a waste of an HOH what Cliff just did. And I think we're going to be just getting Bella out this week.
I said, fuck your ex-girlfriend, 'cause she ain't got shit on me. I said, fuck your ex-girlfriend, 'cause she ain't got shit on me.